Thank you for joining us today. I wanted to start off by just letting you know that we have partners from the City of Eugene and partners from the City of Springfield here with us today to help guide you through some of their response at a local level from the governor's most recent order that has come down. I'd like to start out by giving you a testing update. So to date, we have 203 tests completed. Of those, we have 4 positives. No additional public contacts have been identified, which is good news, but disease investigations are ongoing. I would like to put out there that we do anticipate a few cases this week, mainly household transmission. And so we've been working with those individuals proactively to get an idea of their contacts. So that's some ahead of the curve work that we're doing within our communicable disease response. I would also like to remind folks that PPE donations, again, are being received. We're looking for those PPE donations up at our Delta warehouse. That's at 3050 North Delta Highway. I saw a picture yesterday of some of the donations that have come in, and it is absolutely inspiring. There is a huge stack there. However, it is just a drop in the bucket of what we will need and anticipate needing. So please, if you are industry that is part of the governor's orders, if you have been shut down, to look at your PPE supply, and if you can make donations, please do so. Also, one thing of note, blood donations. We've had some of our partners with blood collection reach out to us and encourage us to make the announcement that blood donations are ongoing. Blood is needed for this response and for other medical needs within the community. And they've seen a drop off in the blood donations, which is understandable given that people are being directed to stay home. However, this is absolutely considered an essential service. And so with BloodWorks Northwest and a few other partners out there have mobile units on their website and the locations of those. So please look on their website and you can find out where those are in the community, and we encourage people to make that trip at least to donate blood. I'd also like to point out the fact that childcare is actively happening through our partners at our school districts. That is fantastic news, and we'd like to thank them for making that service available to first responders and members of our medical community. If you are a first responder or a member of the medical community and have a need for childcare, work through your employer to make that happen. It's a great service, and we're really thankful that our first responders and our members of our medical community can really focus in on the work that needs to be done right now. I'd also like to call out the fact that our public health guidance around return to work slips has received a little bit more clarity. As of last night, public health is making the official recommendation to all employers in Lake County to cease needing or requiring a back-to-work verification for individuals who have been sick. Now, that might be confusing for people. You're trying to prevent the spread. We don't want sick people going to work. I think we absolutely agree that we don't want sick people to go to work. However, the need for that verification slip, in particular, is really what's slowing down our medical community's ability to respond to those people who need medical care. So please, if you're an employer, cease the need for that verification. Instead, we're asking people to stay home for 72 hours after they do not have a fever and after their cough subsides without the use or help of medicine. It's really important that that people stay vigilant on monitoring their symptoms so they know what their fever is looking like, and really as you start to feel better, cease using some of those medications so that you can accurately monitor your situation. So as most people are aware, the governor's Stay Home, Save Lives took effect in the early hours this morning. This closes a significant swath of our business community. And first off, I'd just like to acknowledge the fact that those folks are going to be hit pretty hard. So please, your compassion as community members is appreciated as we negotiate this going forward. I know that our business continuity section within our Emergency Operations Center is working very hard to identify both public and private sources of funding and revenue so we can bring those dollars to our small businesses in lieu of the SBA loans being made available at the federal level. So please look for new news on that coming soon. We're going to have our partners from our city come up and talk a little bit more about how this is being actualized at a local level, the governor's orders, that is. But first, I'd like to just talk on a few points, the first being our homeless response. So from the get-go, you know, one of the things that public health does is really look at which of our communities are at risk, which of our communities are most vulnerable. And we identified our unhoused community as one of those communities. And so we've been looking at how do we plan for individuals who are issued a stay-at-home order when they don't have a home. So part of that process is looking at what the CDC guidelines are, and to that effort, we have identified and worked with our partners at City of Eugene and some other partners in the community to form outreach teams. The goal of those outreach teams is to identify people where they're at. So wherever they might be sheltering right now, whether in a tent or in the street, and making contact with them, figuring out what resources they might need, providing basic medical screening so that we can connect them with services if needed. As I mentioned before, we've already had the function up in place for individuals who are in need of quarantine or isolation, for them to be able to receive that if they're showing symptoms but not needing to be hospitalized. So that function's already going. These outreach teams are really looking at people right now and making sure that they have adequate ability to stay where they are if that is what needs to happen. Also, another part of this response is identifying emergency respite shelters for folks who would like to move that way. So that's going to happen both in Springfield and in Eugene, and the details are forthcoming on exactly what that looks like, but the work is going on right now. People are being trained and the facilities are being set up. I know that within the facilities there's going to be a component of medical screening. That's per CDC guidelines, so we can identify individuals who might have symptoms and have them in a separate area from those who are not displaying symptoms, and then also providing food and then some basic medical care as well. So all of that is being done with CDC guidelines in place, and look for more news on that coming up. The public health perspective on the governor's orders, I think, is an important consideration. You know, really what we do, what we look at is how are we going to respond medically and through public health practices. And this is absolutely an effective strategy in flattening the curve and reducing the number of new cases. And so really, to break it down, one of the things that staying at home does is that it slows down the transmission and the occurrence of new cases. As you can imagine, that's really important for us, both in trying to reduce the impact to daily life and to the overall systems that are being affected right now, but also in our ability to respond as a medical provider community. If we see that large inundation of cases, especially the severe cases, then that really hampers our ability to respond. So as we slow down by staying home, taking away the element that this virus needs to transmit, which is close contact, then we're able to address the needs of those individuals and respond better. It also improves the health outcomes for those individuals who are affected. So as you know already, we've had one death in Lane County. We've also had some people that have been very severely medically affected by the disease and by other respiratory illnesses. So by slowing down the influx into our medical providers and our hospitals, we're able to provide better care, more comprehensive care to those individuals, and improve health outcomes and potentially prevent death. So that's one of the factors of how or why this is so important. Another piece of this really is public health's ability to do our job. When we see widespread community transmission, we shift to mitigating the effects rather than trying to contain. You see that move happened at a global level quite a while ago. But with the component of staying at home, we regain some semblance of being able to do that. So if we have a household where a case pops up, we're able to respond and potentially contain the virus within the household and prevent it from spreading to the rest of the community. This is a huge asset to us moving forward and will really prove an effective strategy if we do this right as a community, getting through this and returning to normal life as soon as possible. With that, I will go ahead and introduce our partner from the City of Eugene, Laura Hammond.
Thanks, Jason. And I just want to start by thanking our partners at Lane County and the City of Springfield. You know, we've always appreciated working with our local government partners, and this experience has only reemphasized how valuable and critical those relationships are. We really are stronger working together. The governor's Stay Home, Save Lives executive order will help protect our families, our neighbors, our healthcare workers, and each other. In Eugene, we want to make sure everyone understands the intent of this rule. We must flatten the curve. We must slow the spread of COVID-19. We must limit as much as possible our in-person interactions. And when we do go out for essential services, we must remain 6 feet apart. It's an important reminder that it is possible to carry this virus unknowingly. In Eugene and in the region, all of our skate parks, sports courts, playground equipment are now closed per the governor's order. And while our trails and natural areas are open, we've already seen examples of people packing these spaces to the extent that they become unsafe. So even when you're outdoors, it's vital to maintain that 6-foot buffer space between yourself and others. In terms of protecting some of our most vulnerable community members, the folks experiencing homelessness, the city has launched some outreach teams today. They're in training. They're being staffed by folks who have experience working with this community, including folks in our Library, Recreation, and Cultural Services divisions, our downtown ambassadors, and our park ambassadors. And we're going to be building more of those teams to reach out and to focus on the safety of individuals where they are and helping them understand how they can help slow the spread of this infection. We're also going to be able to connect folks with medical attention if needed. We recognize that COVID-19 has changed almost everything about our daily routines. The governor's order is another reminder that this virus is going to be with us for a while. We know this is a challenge, and we're proud of our community for how you've stepped up to it. Thank you for all the actions you're taking to protect our community and our healthcare workers. I'll introduce Amber Fossen from the City of Springfield.
All right. Thank you, Laura and Jason. What they've covered today so far is very, very important, and I want to echo their sentiments and emphasize a few key things as we move forward. Every single one of us has a part in this response, whether you're staying home to stay safe and protect other people, or are working to provide our community with access to essential services. Please, if you must go out, first ask yourself, is this necessary? The governor's order does not change your ability to purchase groceries, pick up prescriptions, fill up your gas tank, pick up food to go from local restaurants, or to do your banking. However, you should only do those activities when absolutely necessary and reduce the number of trips you need to take. Grocery stores will remain open. While we should be prepared, please know the supply chain is intact. Please don't flood supermarkets or grocery stores. It's also important to remember that this is not a winter storm or an earthquake scenario. We still have electricity, we still have running water and wastewater services. Our law enforcement and first responders are out there serving our communities. All of these things should make it easier for people to remain at home. I want to just close by also thanking the collaboration among our partners. We live in a community where the agencies work rather well together, and in times like this, that becomes critical. We're also thankful to those who are taking the necessary steps to protect your fellow community members. Please stay home and stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber and Laura. And before I take any questions from members of our media, I'd like to thank our ASL interpretation that's been happening. That's an invaluable service, and I'm really appreciative of the work they're doing, not only here in Lane County, but across the nation. We've seen ASL interpretation a priority. Also, you know, we have lots of people to thank about the work that they're doing, but one of the more overlooked, and it can be overlooked at least, is members of our custodial community. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing to allow us to stay open in the capacity that we are and do the things that we're doing for our community. That's been an invaluable service as well. So at this time, I'll take any questions from members of our media. So the question is 4 confirmed cases an accurate number, and how many questions does Lane County, or how many cases does Lane County Public Health think we have now? No, it's not an accurate number. 4 is not the totality of cases here in Lane County. That is the result of the testing that has been available. And as we know, testing has absolutely been at a premium. There aren't enough tests or enough of the reagents and chemicals needed to perform the test for us to get that accurate picture. So no, it's not accurate. Those are representing really the most severe cases. And unfortunately, we're still in the same position in terms of not being able to do widespread testing throughout the county. We are hoping that that situation improves. However, we are seeing other methodologies like the social distancing, like the governor's order, start to take effect, and are confident that those will make a difference. So the follow-up question is there a delay in test results? Yes, there is. So there's a delay. We've noticed a delay at virtually all the labs that our county works with. And just a reminder, we have 1 state public health lab that we work with up in Hillsboro and 4 private labs. Those private labs and the state public health lab are all experiencing shortages of the chemicals needed to process the tests. As I mentioned in yesterday's press briefing, a rapid test has just been approved. It received emergency approval by the FDA. The rollout is still being worked on at the federal level on that, but that is going to be a vital and necessary part of our ability to test. Now, it is important as we anticipate that coming on board that those will be point of care tests. They will not be like a at-home pregnancy test that you can do on your own. Reason being is not only just supply, but it's also the variability in the outcome. So we need to make sure that we're not having false positives or false negatives and action is happening on those. So we can anticipate that happening within doctors' offices and hospitals, hopefully in the near future.
Okay, another follow-up from Brian, and I'll switch. A person called the station says that he's experienced flu-like symptoms for a couple of weeks, but was unable to get a test from Peace Health. Why are some people not being tested?
So this is a question from KZI. Apparently a community member called the station and had symptoms for a couple weeks, and they were told to get a test. When they went to a provider, they were denied a test. I think it's been about 3 or 4 weeks the guidance around how testing is done changed. And so what that changed to is that we are relying on our medical community and our providers to make the determination of who needs to be tested. Now, need is a tricky word there, because it's not need in terms of what public health would prefer, which is that sort of widespread testing, but really looking at the testing resources that are available and working with that number, working with the amount that we have to work with, and figuring out the best way forward. And really the emphasis has been around making sure that those with the most severe illness are tested so that we can have a better idea about how the virus is moving through the community at that level, the most severe level, and then how can we appropriately respond to those individuals. So it is very likely that people have been refused tests who are positive. And you know, hopefully that situation for them does not escalate and they don't move into that severe category, but they're able to stay home and recover from the illness and not spread the illness any more than necessary. So the question from Tom at KVAL is, what is the status of county parks and day? use areas, and are those open for use? So in accordance, you know, the governor's order really looked at the state parks, but also closed down a lot of the public areas, and the county is following that advice and closing down most of our campgrounds and most of our areas as well. So be looking for more guidance on our website. Again, that website is www.lanecountyor.gov/coronavirus. We have a specific page that is designed specifically towards the governor's order, and you can find more detailed information there.
Question from Rachel at KLCC. Are there any plans to open hotel rooms to people who are homeless in response to coronavirus?
So the question is from Rachel at KLCC, and it's, are there any plans to open up hotel rooms for individuals who are unhoused in response? So what we have right now is we have a variety of different resources available for our unhoused community. One of those resources does involve hotel rooms. Those are for people who are recovering from illness, and so really looking at those individuals who need that acute care but not necessarily elevating to the hospital needs. But what we're looking at from a broader perspective is enabling the individuals who are out there right now in a situation and making sure that they have what they need per CDC guidelines. And then also for individuals who move to a sheltered situation, that we have those shelters available. And it's going to be critical as we approach this that we do this right, because what the last thing that public health or any of our partners want to do is spread disease within that community. And so that's one of the reasons why we're being very careful in setting this up. Obviously, we want to comply with the governor's orders. However, we want to make sure that we're not causing unnecessary new cases. So the question is from Rachel at KLCC, will law enforcement be doing anything different to enforce the order? Right now, we're really focusing on education. That's the biggest component. As you know, this order has been effective for a little less than 12 hours. So what we're trying to do is just make sure that our community and the many individuals that make up Lane County understand exactly what the order entails. And we're really looking for that voluntary compliance. That's our best and most effective use of this order, is to see our community come together under that rationale that this is how we get through this, you know, and this is how we move forward and flatten the curve. So those conversations are ongoing, and we do anticipate, we've seen a pattern within the governor's orders where the order comes out and then additional clarification is made. And so we're anticipating some of that clarification coming down. That'll help us respond. So there's specific direction for educational facilities within the governor's order, and we'd ask people to reference that. We are actively working with our community partners in both private and public colleges, making recommendations and have good communication with them. As some of the, I guess you could call them complaints come in, those conversations are happening through our liaison components. And so what we're anticipating and actually really positive and optimistic about is that we'll see that compliance fall into place. I think that there's going to be a lag as people try to figure out the logistics on how to respond to this. And so our community's patience and understanding is really appreciated in this time. We've already had people calling in, you know, and they're very concerned about some of the things they're seeing in the community. I think that is an appropriate response in terms of that level of care and concern for your community. We absolutely appreciate the amount of care that we see. However, our community can rest assured that we have open lines of communications with most of our businesses, with most of our public entities, and we do know that there needs to be that grace period where we're helping them to fall into compliance with the order.
Question from Tom over at KBOW. What is the business continuity team trying to do for local businesses?
So the question is from Tom at KBOW. What is the business continuity team within the emergency response doing to try to help local businesses? So one of the first things, and not to belabor the point, but we did make a fund available, $200,000 from Lane County, $100,000 from each of our cities, that enabled us to extend small business emergency loans. And as we announced yesterday, that amount, that $400,000, was spoken for in about a half an hour on Sunday after it became available. So obviously, the need exceeds the initial resource. So the first thing that we did was starting to look at additional resources that might be available and that untapped area of private contributions. And so we've been working with several trusts and several large organizations on additional funding, as well as encouraging our state and federal partners with the SBA loan process to get that on board and available for our local community. There's a lot of work being done through that sort of liaison work where we're putting pressure and input to the state level and really trying to advocate for our local businesses in addition to just making those funds available. Well, in closing, I would just like to thank our cities and the great partnership that we've seen going up to this. I would like to remind people that point around not flushing your sanitation wipes, your bleach wipes, those sort of things. They are durable material, and even if they say they're flushable, we're still advising folks to throw those away. And a big shout out to the garbage services that are ongoing and all those services that are keeping our community afloat during this time. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for your compassion.